Hello, it is Monday. You know what that means. It's time for Get to Know Night, the weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. It's been 1 week being back. It's nice to be back. I have a ton of questions. I've curated very nicely from the long list of questions. We have so many. But yeah, let's start at the beginning. The first question is, what happened to your Reddit? It's been a while since I've answered this. So, I don't have a Reddit account anymore, nor do I have the subreddit. Both of them were removed just because I personally just didn't feel comfortable with how easily accessible a lot of my not safe work material was. So the funny thing about YouTube is you get analytics, so you kind of know who's watching you and like how old they are and who they are demographically, and the number skewed a lot lower than I'd previously considered. And with that information, I was like, oh God, it's not, it just didn't feel right to have Reddit as this like super accessible place where people in my audience could get material that I necessarily didn't want them to get if they weren't of age. So that was the big deciding factor to why I removed the Reddit. It was just a matter of, I didn't feel good about having this place that was easily accessible to people that just shouldn't have that material yet. That was basically it. That was the logic behind why Reddit had to go away. Which I think is for the best, because I like it in a place which is much more controllable, which is Patreon, where I can kind of, it has a better age gating system, because in Reddit you can basically just say, yes, I'm over 18 without any kind of real checks, whereas Patreon there's a little bit more hoops to jump through to verify that you are the age you say you are. Long story short, that's why Reddit's gone. All right, the next question from Anonymous as well is, have you been flirted in real life before and how did you react? When's the last time someone actually like flirted with me? I think most of the times when people flirt with me, I don't realize that I was flirted with until after the fact. It's usually people that were in my sphere who were like, I think she was flirting with you. And I'll be like, no, I don't think she was. That's usually what happens. I don't think I pick up on people flirting with me at all. It doesn't like register. I think I miss out most of the time when people like pay me a compliment and I'm like, oh yeah, thank you. I don't think it's flirting. I just think people are just being nice. So generally, I generally don't react. I'm like too oblivious to notice most of the time. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but that's generally what happens, is I'm just oblivious and I don't know. But thank you for your question. The next one is from Anonymous as well. It says, hi Knight, do you see these boyfriend videos as roles, or can you actually see yourself being the way the quote unquote character is behaving? I don't think it's a role per se. I think it's an idealization. I think it's an absolute. It's the way I view at least myself, and I can't speak for others, but I can speak for myself. And I think the way I see myself in these videos is it's the best version of being in a relationship. Like I am the best version of me in a relationship is what I'm trying to portray. Because no relationship is perfect. There's always going to be ups and downs, and there's always going to be like turmoil, and like, you know, you overcome things as a couple and all that. I don't know how much of that gets conveyed in my videos. I try to convey some of it, but I think I behave in the way that I would want someone to behave if they were dating my daughter, and how I hope to behave and I hope to continue to behave in my current relationship. I think that's basically the lens in which I view the air quotes character, is in that way. I hope that answers the question. I might have rambled and not been very helpful, but I hope that at least gives some kind of context to what the question is. All right. The next one is, if you had a kid and you weren't financially stable at that very moment, would you be happy and okay with it? I'm not sure what the question is. If my kid isn't financially stable, or if I wasn't financially stable as I'm about to have a kid? I think I'm going to phrase it in the sense of, if I wasn't financially stable when I was having a kid, I don't know if unhappy would be, it's not unhappy or okay. Of course I'd be okay with it. Of course I'm gonna be happy with it. If I'm proceeding to have this child, obviously I made a bunch of decisions that have led to it. So, yeah, if me and this coupling are like, we're having this kid, but the finances weren't right there, I think I'd be anxious about the financial instability. I'd be worried about it. It would be something that would be like a thing for me. But it wouldn't take away from like the joy I'd feel at the birth or the joy I'd have at having a kid. I think it would just give me, it would just make me anxious personally, because I'd just be like, ah, there's so much to do before this kid comes here. I need to like, you know, figure a bunch of things out that I don't have figured out. But I think it wouldn't be, I would hope that it would be more of a driving force and an impetus for me to do things than it would be this fear of immobilization. Like, I hope it isn't a fear that just like consumes and stops me. I hope it's a fear that's like a fire almost, you know? Like, you got to do this for this kid now. Like, it's not about you anymore. It's not about anything except for this kid. That's just me. That's the way I think I would look at it. I would hope that I would internalize that anxiety in that way, as a catalyst and not as something that would cripple me. Because it would be a really scary situation. Like, I'd be really nervous about it, but I would hope that it would catalyze me into like doing something to try to change that situation. But yeah, I hope that's the question that was being asked. But thank you for your question. Let's see. Can you paint female nails and toenails okay? I think if you told me or asked me this question like a year and a half ago, I'd be like, yeah, I'm pretty good at it. But after a year of basically practicing, I realize I'm not as good as I thought I was. It's the long short of it. I think I was overly confident. I think a lack of experience led to overconfidence. Painting just default nails is super easy. I think like you want a standard red, sure. Like, you know, French tips were getting a little bit harder. I really, really, really wanted to get into nail art. Like the thing is, you see people on YouTube putting like Starry Nights on people's nails. You're like, oh, I could do that. No, it's really hard. It's everything turns into like a muddled mess of color, and you're just like, I am so sorry for the Jackson Pollock on your fingernails. But yeah, simple things can do all day. Anything more complicated than that, I might be out of luck. All right, Anonymous asks, if you get married, would you ever sing at your own wedding? You know, sing a special song to your soon-to-be wife. Yes. I actually would, for a bunch of reasons, which I won't get into. But if I am to get married, I would 100% sing. And I know what song I'd sing to, but I will not answer what song it is and why and all that stuff. But there's, funnily enough, the fact that you're like, would you sing at your wedding? Yes, I would sing, and I know exactly what song I'd sing. Funnily enough. But yeah, I would. I don't think anyone would want me to sing. I think it's doing everyone a disservice for me to sing. But yeah, there's totally a song I would sing at my wedding. Anonymous asks, hi, sir. If you had an LGBTQ+ child in the future, what would you do? Would you hate them or support them? Thanks. Oh, I mean, hate them is obviously out of the question. I'm not going to hate my child. I'm support them. Support them in whatever way I can. I think the second they came out to me regarding whatever it is, like whenever they came out to me, my first move would be like get informed, like get as informed as I can, like meet other parents that are in similar positions as me, like some parents who had this situation much longer, see how like how what they did, what worked, what didn't work. But I would just get, you just have to start being really active immediately. You just have to like I think what would be easiest if my son or daughter came out and they said, hey dad, I'm gay, I would be like, okay, cool, let's like, What do you need from me? Would be the first question. Like, if you're worried about me accepting you, I accept you 100%. I love you. You're my kid. Like, nothing you can do is gonna ever change that. Like, my love for you is unconditional. But I'm your parent as well, and I'm like your guide in this world, and you're gonna be walking this path that I really don't know very well. So I need to get informed. So what do I need? What help do you need, and how can I give that help to you? Would be my first questions. Because for me, I'm not like, I don't have anyone in my family who's had those kind of experiences, so I don't have any kind of like jumping off point. I have friends, but I think when it's your kid, it's a different animal. So I would be like, what do you think you need? And then I'm going to go into my own research and try to figure out what I can do to support them. Because it's going to be a hard path. And I'd want to be as present in their journey as I can. And the only way I can do that is be informed. So that'd be the first step, really. It would just be like, what do you need? How can I know it? And how can I just be there for you? I think those are the big things. Any parent, I think, who has anyone who's LGBTQ+, I think the biggest thing you can do is just support them and be there and want to be present and want to be part of their journey. Because I think that support goes a long way. I think it goes a lot further than people realize. It's just having someone who's just in your corner who's like, I'm here, you know? I'm here to fight with you. Whatever that battle is, I'm here. Yeah, so thank you for your question. Hi, Knight. I know you like Star Wars. I do too. The OG Star Wars before the Disney era. My question is, what's your favorite Star Wars character? Man, it's hard. I have a really strong affinity to Admiral Ackbar. I think, I'm just gonna say Admiral Ackbar, one of the great military minds of our generation. He can discern whether or not something's a trap just by looking at it. But I don't know. I think Admiral Ackbar. The thing is, if you're just talking about the movies in a vacuum, then I'd be like Luke or like Han Solo, like or Admiral Ackbar, just because it's such a. Oh, or Orlando. Lando Calrissian is pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. If you're talking about like the expanded or the extended universe, the answer would change. But if you're just talking about the movies in a vacuum, then I'd be like Luke, Han, Lando, and then Admiral Ackbar. Thank you for your question. Anonymous asks, how not great is your sleeping schedule? And if you had a baby now or in the near future, do you think you'd be able to take care of it, no matter how tired or bad you felt? I think, weirdly enough, if I have a child right now, my sleeping schedule is perfect for my kid. Because we'd be on the same bad sleeping cycle, so we'd be in sync. Like, he'd be crying when I'm awake, or it would just be perfect. Nothing would be wrong. But if I fix my sleeping schedule, it'd be rough. You have to adapt. When you have a kid, you have to adapt to your sleeping schedule. There's no... you're not gonna be living the way you want to live for like 2 years. that's the commitment with a kid, is like, you're like, okay, I'm giving up at least 20 years, but for sure I'm giving up 2 years of early childhood development where I'm not gonna have any kind of life. I am completely forfeiting whatever I personally want for 2 years, because these are really important like developmental years for my child. I gotta be there. Which is like, it's basically 2-3 years. You're pretty much, you have to give up like things that you really want, for the betterment of your kid. Which is hard. It's why kids are a big commitment. You have to make the time, because you don't get that time back. And that time then is so important. So important. First 3 years of life are critical in childhood development. So you have to just be there. So yeah, it doesn't matter how tired I am or how bad I feel. If I have a cold, it doesn't matter what my situation is. I have to be there for that kid. You just have to be there. So as much as I'd like to like sleep in one night or do whatever, it doesn't matter. Those things just can't matter. The thing that matters is that infant in front of me. I hope that answers the question. Okay. Holly asks, hi Kay, my boyfriend and I listen to you guys a lot. I like your voice, it's so soothing. And how did you handle a long distance relationship? Did y'all stay on the phone all night? What did you do? First, thank you, Holly. I'm glad you and your boyfriend listen to my audios. How do you handle, yeah, I mean, staying on the phone all night, yeah, that's like one of the things. Distance is always really hard. I think the best thing with being in a long distance relationship is having an endpoint, a point where you know this distance will end. That's, I think, really important. I think deciding on a point where it won't be long distance anymore is like critical. I think it's super crucial. And then also having like little checkpoints along the way, like at least in 2 months I'm going to see you because we're going to fly. And I know with COVID now it's so hard. Travel is so hard with COVID. And my heart breaks for a lot of long distance relationships that are probably really hard because you have loved ones that you just can't see. just because of how hard it is to travel right now. But hopefully as the world normalizes, you can start making like checkpoints like, oh, okay, in like 6 months we'll see each other, or, you know, we'll do this thing, we'll both meet up in the city then, or, you know, things like that along the way to your ultimate goal, which is to end long distance. I think all long distance relationships, at least the ones that I've found that have been successful, all have one thing in common, which is this end point that they all know is coming. A day when long distance will no longer be long distance. I think that's so important. I think that really helps in those relationships. So I hope that helped. Also, thank you for your question. all right. Anonymous asks, when you were in school, college, etc., or even had a job and you had to get up early, did you ever eat breakfast? I wish I could say yes. I wish I could be like, yeah, I totally did. When I was working, I kind of had breakfast. I had like a, you know, I had like a croissant in the morning and I had a Red Bull, which I don't think that's a good breakfast. Don't quote me as saying that's a good breakfast. It's not a good breakfast. But funnily enough, now I am eating breakfast now. I'm pretty regularly every morning I've been having breakfast, which has been good. It actually does make a big difference. I think if you actually have breakfast in the morning, it does help. It does make a huge difference. I never thought it did. But I've been wrong. Breakfast is actually a pretty important meal. Thank you for your question. Our last question is from Anonymous that says, rock band or Guitar Hero, what was your go-to song? It's been so long. I gotta look up Guitar Hero. Was it like 3 maybe? It was probably Guitar Hero 3. Yeah, it's the last Guitar Hero I played. All right, let's look. I did enjoy playing Black Magic Woman. That was a good one. Cliffs of Dover. Oh my god, Cliffs of Dover was a go-to for me. I loved Eric Johnson's Cliffs of Dover. Yeah, that was a go-to for me as well. Helicopter was pretty good. I loved Helicopter. Yeah, Helicopter, Cliffs of Dover so far are high on this list. Let's keep looking. I didn't really love playing Miss Murder. My Name is Jonas by Weezer is pretty good. I enjoyed playing that one. Scorpions Rocky Like a Hurricane. Alice Cooper's School is out. I mean, it was fine. Slow Ride was okay. Take it easy. I think for me it was maybe My Name is Jonas, Helicopter, or Cliffs of Dover. Those were like the top 3 for me, for what I consider my like core Guitar Hero. I hope that answers your question. If you have a question and you want to submit it, feel free to do so. There should be a link below. But with that, I will talk to you guys all later. Bye now.